In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, this gospel makes me want to cry too. I'm not sure that we always take this particular passage in St. Matthew as seriously as we should, because it should really send chills down our spine. It's a very important passage where the Lord really lays out the bottom line of our entire existence. It's a very difficult passage, although St. John Chrysostom calls it most delightful. Well, St. John Chrysostom wouldn't he? But it does provide a lot of instruction for us. Of course, the church allows us on this Sunday to commemorate the fearful and final great judgment of the Lord. And over the years, I've noticed there's so many different kinds of viewpoints about what this judgment actually is. There's a lot of Christians that believe that this is simply a judgment for rewards, that since they were already taken up into heaven in the rapture anyway, it kind of dismisses the idea that this judgment even applies to Christians, which is kind of silly when you think about it. There are other people that look at this whole passage in a completely unusual way, that it was those who went through the great tribulation at the end of the age, who survived all of that and were faithful, that somehow are getting judged at this particular point in time. But yet, the gospel's very clear that it's everyone that shall be judged on this day. No one will escape it. Not a person, not a soul who has ever lived will be able to avoid this judgment. Many of the fathers say that before a word is uttered, that our consciences will already condemn us. Other fathers talk about how there is no courtroom in this judgment. There's no lawyers, there's no advocates, you know, no plaintiffs, no defendants, but it's simply the presence of Christ Himself come in glory that is the judgment right then and there. It still becomes a very, very difficult passage because we read so much about faith and belief and these kind of things all through the gospel. And yet, when we come to this passage, what is He talking about? He's talking about what we have done. That simple. St. Maria of Paris, you know, said very famously that I shall be asked, you know, whether I clothed the naked, whether I visited people in prison, whether I went to those who were sick. And she says, that's all I shall be asked on the day of judgment. And I think she's right. But yet, how do we fit this into our entire Christian life? You know, where does faith come in? Where does belief come in? All these sorts of things. Well, we know that even the devils believe, and yet they're not saved. So we can kind of discard that as being a final criterion. It's certainly not that. But yet, does it mean simply that anyone who goes out and you know, does some good things somehow will escape this particular judgment? Well, it doesn't mean that either. Because as the Lord refers to it, it is something that has to well within. It all goes back to those two great commandments that He gave us about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, if we look at that, what does that really mean? You have to fulfill the first of those, really, to be considered a Christian at all. And the second one that He says is like it, loving your neighbor as yourself. What exactly does that mean? Does it mean that we should love our neighbors because we love ourselves? Or does it actually mean that we are devoid of love unless we look at our neighbor as ourselves? That we look at them as equivalent to us, every bit as important to the Lord as we think we are ourselves to the Lord. It's from this that all the judgment stems. Because if we do have that love for God, if we do have that love for neighbor, and someone once said that if you're talking about loving your neighbor, you're actually talking about how you feel about the worst person you know, the person that you just can't stand, the person that you're always critical of, the person that you don't like a bit. How do you treat that person? How are you towards them? Because that's the bottom line in loving your neighbor as yourself. It's easy to love someone who's always nice to you, who's always doing friendly things to you, encouraging you, loaning things when you need them, giving you money when you need it. Oh, I wish I had more neighbors like that. It's very simple to do that. Very simple. But that person that you can't stand, what is your attitude towards them? That's what the Lord's going to look for. That's what He means. And when He talks about all these things that He tells us in this gospel today, when He says that we should go out and we should clothe the naked and visit the sick and on, those six things that He mentions that we'll be judged on, He's saying that we can't do those things unless we have love for God and love for our neighbor. We simply can't. It's an impossibility. Even if we have some charitable feelings or something like that, and we go out and we help someone one day, if we're not doing it out of love for Christ and out of the love for Christ that we find within our neighbor, then we are not doing it with pure motives. It won't be enough. It just won't be. He's very clear about this, because this passage can't be read in isolation from the rest of the gospel and the rest of the things that the Lord tells us. It's very, very important to understand this, because it's not simply a question of doing works. It's not a question of just doing these things. Okay, well, I went to prison yesterday and saw someone. You know, tomorrow I'm going to visit somebody who's not feeling well. It's not a question of that. That's very legalistic. It's a question of knowing what is inside us, of welling over with the love of God so that we do these things. We do them because of the love of God, because we want to be like Him, because He has told us that this is what we must do in order to understand His gospel, let alone live His gospel. It's a frightening thing to me, because I think, what am I going to do when I, you know, when I hear those words? And one day I will hear them. Sometimes I think we hear passages like this and we think, well, is it really true? Is it really like that? You know, will there really be a great judgment? Will we all be called to account? Well, the answer is yes, we will be. We will be. And it may not be in the same way that we imagine. None of us can really understand what the return of the Lord will be like. None of us can understand what the final judgment will be like. Will it be instantaneous? Will it be public in front of everyone because all deeds will be made known? We don't know. We can't understand these things. But we do know that we will be called to account for the things that we have done in this life, because the Lord regards all of our lives as sacred. If we go back to the book of Genesis, when the Lord breathes His Spirit into Adam and into Eve. This is a sacred action, because later on we see Jesus breathing upon the apostles and saying, receive the Holy Spirit. And then later on, a few weeks from now, when we celebrate Pentecost, we hear of the great rushing wind that comes similar to the divine breath of the Lord and gives everyone the Spirit of God. We see that it's a very sacred thing, that is something that we have to take seriously, the breath of life in all human beings. It's something that the Lord expects a lot back from us because of this great gift that He gives us. If you ever think about it, if you think about why you're here, you know, what you're doing here,
why do you exist? I mean, all of us have asked these questions. You know, we sit back and we think, you know, what's it all about? What is this all about? And yet if we divorce that thought from anything having to do with God, it becomes an absurdity. We are simply another creature on the earth, another creature that somehow is come into being and been fashioned all by itself somehow, and that we are at the top of the food chain because we can contemplate who we are, but we're really no different from any other, you know, thing that crawls upon the earth. If you look at it that way, life does become an absurdity. It has no ultimate meaning for anyone. There's nothing. Because as we will all be going back into the earth one day, and we're gone, and that's the end of the story, what did it all mean? It meant nothing. It meant nothing. But if we do believe that there is a Creator who has endued us with the Holy Spirit, who has put His image into us out of His great love, His overflowing love, that He wanted to create us, and that He wants us to treat other people as He treats us. If we think then that these gifts of God are something that have to be cultivated and expanded upon, then all of a sudden, life does have meaning. Because life doesn't end. Life extends. Life goes on forever. It will never end. Then things become more realistic to us. Things have meaning. We know that our actions upon the earth do influence other people for generations, perhaps. That the love we show one person could have a ripple effect that goes on for hundreds of years. That has happened. And if this has happened, if this is such a great gift of God, it's only natural that He would expect us to use it in the way that He has told us to use it. That we have to be doing these things out of love for Him and out of love for neighbor. Because if He just judges us one day on our intentions, or, you know, the fact that somehow we say that we believe in Him, or the fact that we think we have faith, that's nothing. Again, the proof's in the pudding, isn't it? He asks us what we did, because that is where the difficulty comes for us. That is where we find out what we're really all about. That's where we find out how much we love God. We find out how much we love our neighbor. Because we have done the things that He's talking about out of love for Him. We did them because we wanted to, because we had such an overwhelming desire to be like Him that we had to exercise our free will in doing these things for other people. So the judgment has to be on what we've done. It has to be. And the Holy Fathers today tell us to be aware of this. They say, come to your senses, people. Come to your senses. Start acting like the human beings that God wants you to act like. Start stoking that divine fire within you so that when this judgment comes, you will be on His right hand and not on His left. You will be as someone who is welling over with the love of God, who is so thrilled and happy to be a child of God that you just can't even express yourself anymore because you're so overwhelmed with gratitude and with the wonderment at being created in the first place, of being someone that God has fashioned, that God has loved. This is what judgment is all about. Remember in the gospel today when He talks about the goats. And somebody once asked, you know, what's God got against goats? I mean, sheep and the goats, if you happen to be born a goat, I guess you're in trouble. But of course, the imagery is of the good shepherd throughout the Gospels, and that's why He uses this imagery here. But the goats, the ones on His left, say, depart into the eternal fire created for the devil and his angels. I'm not sending you there because this wasn't created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. But since in your life you have shown yourself to be more part of them than of me, this is where you go. No one will be on the left side unless they feel comfortable on the left side. Those are the ones that will go into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, because being with the sheep is simply unbearable to them. They won't be able to stand it. So you choose. You choose the right side or the left. And you choose that by learning right now to love God. Because if you do that, you will love your neighbor too. It's that simple. I've always said, Christian life is very easy. It's very black and white in terms of what's required. Simply love God and be thankful for the things that He has given you. And all these other things will fall into place, and you'll definitely end up being on the right side. Amen.